Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR.net. I'm Tim with Ed. Yes, Ed.
Well, I just wanted to let our viewers know, some of the folks who are watching on Facebook, maybe tried to on YouTube, recognize that there have been some problems, some streaming problems today. We're working on it from our end. It is possible that it's just internet related, so many people at home streaming. So we just want to let folks know we're aware of the problem. We're sorry for it.
And that you and I can't do squat about it.
That's right. We have people here who, if they can't get it done, guess what? It's not getting done.
It is not getting done.
Right.
You and I, technology, our IT skills are on, off, control, alt, delete.
That's about it, right? That's about it. Yeah, that's right.
All right, Steve Jordahl's in Studio Venus.
Hey, kids, get off my internet.
I thought men were from Mars, but I'm in Venus for some reason.
Right. Women. Well, I've designated your studio that you're away from us about 30 yards.
All right, yes.
As Outpost, in case outpost you Venus.
All right. Outpost Venus. We're here on Earth and raised in Kansas City, Kansas. I tell you what's happening. What's happening to our country right now? We are creating millions and millions of hypochondriacs.
And I'm sitting across from one right now, and germaphobes.
Well, sure. On that last one about that they say the easiest way. Or the likeliest way to catch this virus is by putting your hands on your face, right? Yeah. Well, we do it. Where did I read that? 500 times a day or something like that? 30 or 40 or 50 times an hour, and we don't even think about it. I mean, I scratch my cheek, I rub my chin, whatever. I kind of touch my forehead for no reason at all. I don't even think about it. Tim, how do you even break that habit? I don't know.
Italians do it twice as often as everybody else. So, because our hands are always in motion.
That's right.
I've just never seen so many people twitching their noses in all my life.
It's been pointed out that I'm particularly guilty of this. And to answer your question, Ray, I'm thinking of taking a string and tying it to a belt loop in my wrist, and it only gives me a range of motion to about 4 inches from my face.
Oh, my word.
Stops.
Okay, so what we ought to say is, by the way, on the issue of coughing, if you feel like you need to cough, let's just say it's a practical act of wisdom, don't go to the grocery store, right? Because these days, anybody who coughs in a grocery store, you could get arrested. Somebody could jump you.
You get the death stare at least.
You get the death stare at least,
So yeah, I know. That's the truth.
There's about 500,000 hypochondriacs and germaphobes out there saying, "I told you so," right now.
They did tell us.
A hypochondriac is somebody who always thinks there's something wrong with them, right?
Yeah, right.
That's a little bit different than a germaphobe.
Yes.
And of course, we are creating legions of germaphobes.
And like I said last week.
And I may be one of them now.
I've always been kind of a germaphobe, but a coronavirus pandemic has raised me from an 8 to a 9, but Tim, you went from a 3 to a 9.
I did, like overnight.
Yes,
almost.
That's right.
I'm getting on my family's nerves. I'm like the health police now. I told my daughter last night, "Hey, you just put your hand to your face. Don't do that again around the children. Do you understand me? You're being a bad parent." Dad, you're freaking out. Calm down.
You're a little
on edge right now, okay?
You kicked me and your two sons out of your office last week. You said, "All right, you and your fumes have been in my office long enough. This meeting's over.
Fumes. I like that.
I had to get in there for 5 minutes, and we were 6 feet apart, but I didn't know what they were leaving behind. And they let, we'll go to somebody else's office and do this.
That's okay?
Right. Anyway, all right. Well, we're all kind of psychologically damaged because
yes,
of this.
Extremely.
Right now. Steve, on a more somber note, and I mean this seriously, do you have any numbers out of New York? What's going on there today? They've been ravaged in that city.
They have been. That and New Orleans, I guess, is the second now coming on as the epicenter in the United States. Let me look up those numbers for you, Tim. I can do that.
Orleans too, but New York is the
represents like half the cases in the country or something.
Yeah.
I'm getting.
And they're having trouble now. This thing has infected their police department.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what 5 or 10% of their police officers are out with this. And how do you ride two in a car? Two. I don't know if they do that.
Maybe
anymore.
You don't.
I don't think they've done that for a while, simply because they don't have enough police officers to do that.
Right. The New York Times is reporting 914 dead in New York City. The cases has topped 38,000. This is from a day ago, so it might even be more now.
This is not the flu, people.
No.
Now, I know some conservatives have said that and said that at the outset, right? But this is not the flu.
No.
If you want to compare flu numbers in terms of deaths, I'll listen to that because there's like 20 to 30,000.
Right. It's a legitimate.
Year.
It's
annually. Point. That's a fair thing to do. But medically speaking, Ray, don't compare the COVID-19.
Right. First of all,
why can't we do that?
Number one, they tell us it's a different kind of virus, right? The strains of flu, one kind of virus. This is something else. Number two, it apparently is more contagious. And number three, at least so far, it is many times more lethal than the traditional flu. Now, we've got that last statement's got to, you know, that may be revised somewhat in the weeks to come as we get over the curve. But that's what they're telling us, different virus, more contagious, and more lethal. So, no, this isn't like the regular flu.
Steve?
To back that up, let me just play you what one of the nation's experts is saying. This is Dr. Deborah Birx, who is on the president's coronavirus task force. And she was on NBC's Today show the other day and talking about the best case scenario here in the U.S. This is Cut 10.
We've looked at the Italy data with their self-isolation, and that's where we come up with, if we do things together well, almost perfectly, we could get in the range of 100,000 to 200,000 fatalities. We don't even want to see
that. I know, but you know, you kind of take my breath away with that, because what I hear you saying is that's sort of the best case scenario. If everything works and people do the things you're asking them to do, maybe you can hold the deaths to 1 to 200,000 in this country.
Well, the best case scenario would be 100% of Americans doing precisely what is required. But we're not sure, based on the data that you're sharing from around the world and seeing these pictures, that all of America is responding in a uniform way to protect one another. So we also have to factor that in.
So it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah. And can you imagine, Steve? I mean, we're what, a little over 3,000 deaths now. She said 100,000 to 200,000.
Yeah.
That's. I'm doing my hands in the air, Steve, to say I can't get my hands around that.
We've been talking about medical experts, and I am obviously not one. I can't even fix our internet here, okay? So my technical and scientific knowledge is admittedly quite low.
Rivals that of Tim's.
He's rivals that of yours. But if her point is accurate, and 200,000 people in this country die, and that's a best case scenario, then that means 20 million people get it if it's a 1% death rate.
Right.
Because 200,000 is 1% of 20 million. We only have roughly 165,000 total confirmed cases. Is she seriously saying that number's going to escalate to 20 million?
She's certainly saying that there are going to be days ahead where, instead of talking about 800 or 300 to the death total, there's going to be a couple of days Tim or Ed, Steve, 2 or 3 weeks down the road where we're going to be sitting here if we haven't gotten the virus ourselves, side note, if we haven't, we're still on the air, then we're going to be saying, Steve's going to be saying 5,000 died yesterday here in the U.S.,
right.
6,000, 7,000. That's the only way you get to 100 or 200,000.
Yeah, and we're talking about 165,000 total cases escalating to 20 million.
Right.
The Lancet Infectious Diseases Journal is estimating that the death rate of this is about 0.66%, so a little more than half of 1%. That's still a lot.
So 10 million would get the would be infected then, right? Something like that.
It's a country. Well,
I've been going by the one.
We're a country of 330 million, so I don't think it's unreasonable to think maybe 20 million would be infected.
I'm just looking at the rate. I'm just looking at the how long this
going
is,
from the death rate working back.
Yeah, and I'm going 165,000 cases escalating into the millions with all the stuff we're doing.
Well, maybe not. That's yet to be determined.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, Chris Cuomo, who is the CNN guy.
Yeah. Yes.
Y'all remember what CNN is?
Only when they mess up, which is
there's
frequently.
Like they have 57 viewers now. But Chris Cuomo, also the brother of Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York, has the virus.
Been diagnosed with it, yeah.
Oh, Chris Cuomo does?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has it. Yeah, he has it. You know, the thing about it is, I don't mean to scare people or sound morbid, but from what I've seen of this, Steve, get you to comment, and Ray, the difference, of course, we have a vaccine flu for the flu. We don't for this, obviously. This is a virus. Yes, people have flu-like symptoms, but what differentiates mainly, as I understand it, of course, you can die of the flu. You get pneumonia and you die. People do every day. But this thing can ravage your lungs, mm-hmm. that even if you live, you could have long-term health consequences. Ray, is that what – am I off on that one?
No, you're not off on it at all. That just since we went on the air a little over an hour ago, I got a text from two of my very good friends and friends of our ministry. Now they've got the coronavirus, and one of them wrote me a note and said, it feels like there is, like you are, you've got something like fiberglass that you've swallowed and gone into your lungs. I don't even know what to do with that. But yeah, it can
you
do,
tell us where, what part of the country they live in?
Chicago.
Okay. Okay. Not that matters. I'm just curious where it's spreading. So
yeah, and it's certainly hitting the big cities because of the density of population.
Yeah. Well, so I just be careful, folks, if you're out talking about this. I know you are. Of course, I'm talking to a lot of people right now, but don't be flippant when talking about this and acting like, oh, this is overblown, or this is no, you know, they're making too much of this. I guess we'll know that down the road, probably in a month or two. We can come back and say whether it was or wasn't. But don't dismiss this as some did early on. I may have said it. I don't know what I said back in February. But
right.
It's one of those.
It was a Chinese problem back then, right?
Right. Right. And we were so skeptical of the
right.
of the liberal news media, because we know how much they hate President Trump,
right?
That they would want to use this to scare people to damage the economy and President Trump. That is born from our experience from seeing the media and how they mistreat him the last 3 years and how they view us. So I understand that, but that time is past. I think the real reality, Ray, and then Steve. The reality is, Ray, this is a pandemic. It's a novel virus. Remember that word, folks.
Yeah.
That means new. That means we don't fully understand. This is a scientific community saying this, and the medical community saying this. We don't fully, I use that word, understand this, right? So we can't say everything conclusively. There's maybe 90% of it, but 10% if they're going, we don't know what this does, how long this does this, how this is, you know, right? So I'm just saying, let's be careful about to go out there and just say, this is a bunch of media hooey. Go ahead, right?
Well, it's not a bunch of media hooey. And Tim, I was as skeptical as everyone else. And you know, it was a lot easier to be skeptical when it was on the other side of the Pacific Ocean. But boy, it started spreading and spread exponentially around the globe. And at least, folks, can we say this? Please follow the common sense precautions of washing your hands. And one of my friends up in Chicago, who now is diagnosed with it, and sent me a text the very last thing, and they're very good friends of ours, said, "Stay at home!" Exclamation point. That's one thing we can all do. Doesn't this go back around to the question of the church service that we were talking about in the last hour? Just for the sake of common sense, folks, to save lives, we can. This isn't going to last forever. It can't last forever, but for a few weeks, for our own health, health for our loved ones, our church, and the people in the community, let's. Let's stay at home as much as we can.
Yeah, well, we're doing that here. You know, we're down to 10%, probably of people that are coming into the office, right?
Yeah, probably roughly that. Yeah,
and we're staying, you know, away from each other.
Right.
So I guess maybe we could do more, but right now we're doing.
Oh, we got all kinds of stations around for plastic. I mean, for gloves.
Oh, yeah. We're not doing. There's nothing. We've sanitized the satellite dishes out there.
We got the cleanest.
We sprayed the satellite dishes down with Clorox. I mean, we're doing, you're right, Ray, and your friends are right, and they can't emphasize that enough. But other than that, for me, it's go home,
right?
And you know, as necessary, go to the grocery store or something like that. But even then, you're like going in and out, and don't. Be as rude to people as possible. You know what I'm saying? That's my focus when I go in Kroger, is how can I just avoid talking to anybody or saying hello?
Right.
That's nothing to do with the virus. It's just the typical way of doing things.
Yeah. But your friend said it feels like fiberglass in their lungs.
Right. Exactly.
That's, wow. Anyway. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Steve, next story.
Let's be aspirational for a second. I came across something on my Twitter feed that just made me smile and kind of think of the best of humanity. And I know I sent a picture to Brent to have him put this picture up on our Facebook page. And I sent one to Ed and Tim. And if you haven't seen it, ask Ed to pass you his phone or something. You can look at it.
No, first. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
I don't want to
strike.
He's not touching my phone.
He can go.
See what I mean?
That's right. There you go.
Hey, you scored a 5 on the rudeness scale.
That's right.
Ed, right there. I would give you a virtual high five here. You're learning. You're learning how to behave.
This is a picture of a 12-year-old girl who was having some difficulty doing her math homework, so she emailed her teacher. The teacher grabbed a whiteboard and went and walked and stood outside her door, separated by a glass front door, like a glass screen, and started teaching her math at home. It almost breaks your heart for how much some people are what they're doing to overcome and to try to help out.
I thought this was an awesome story, and I'm glad people are going to be able to see it on Facebook, assuming Facebook is going to be working okay.
There's our Today's Issues Facebook
page. Today's Issues Facebook page. And let me tell you something else. Not only is it a heartwarming picture, but kudos to this teacher.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, this guy, now, maybe he's just saying, I just got to teach somebody. The dog's not listening anymore. But, I think this is a guy who's all in when it comes to teaching kids. Shows up on her front walkway, teaching her while she's looking out through the glass. Great story. That thanks for that. Brent Creeley, our producer, says it is up.
It is up. I'm looking at it.
On
yeah.
the Facebook page for today's issues.
Heartwarming. We've been hearing from you guys. I know you played or you heard from Mike Lindell at the White House the other day. There are a couple other people that have been speaking out. And here's a voice that many of you baseball fans will remember. He was for 60-some years the broadcast voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Brooklyn Dodgers. Vin Scully, and he was on with Fox on one of their podcasts, and he had this to say. This is cut eight.
I read an article, and it was talking about what happened to the Americans in World War II. It was such a terrible time, the horrors of all the deaths and everything else, that three-quarters of the Americans belong to a house of worship. Today, after we've had boom time, half of the Americans are involved in a house of worship prior to this pandemic. So there's your answer. I think what will happen now, probably more Americans will be praying than since World War II.
So there's good news.
Then listen, I love Vin Scully's voice. Yeah. It's clear he's getting older. I have no idea how old Vin Scully is. He may be close
I think he's
to
in his 90s.
His 90s. Oh, what a great baseball voice he had. But you know, he's a strong Christian and has been for many years, right?
Sure. Yeah, Catholic, okay. I believe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We sometimes get tired of celebrities giving us advice, and we mock them. But I have to give kudos to Neil Diamond, the singer, who is now giving some advice, and it's advice that we all should heed. This is cut number seven.
Hands, washing hands, reaching out. Don't touch me. I won't touch you.
Thank you, Brent. That's enough.
Oh, my word.
Okay, that's hilarious.
Good. Oh, that's good.
That really was Neil Diamond.
That really was that Neil, yes.
Won't touch you. Don't touch me. Oh, man.
Wash your hands. He said, you know, he can't tour anymore. He doesn't have the voice or the stamina. He said, I don't know how old I've forgotten how old he is. He's in his mid-70s, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Talking about Neil Diamond. Oh, wow.
Talk about a great voice, too. Oh, unique voice.
Oh, yeah, forever in blue jeans. All right. Well, listen, folks, Steve, we're out of time here. Thank you for ending us there on a lighter note. Folks,
he's 79, by the way.
Neil Diamond?
Yep.
That's hard to believe. He's 79 years old. How can folks keep up with the news, Steve?
If you want to go to onenewsnow.com, we're posting a lot of the stories that we're talking about, everything that we're covering in our news broadcasts at the top of the hour on AFR stations and other stories. Go there. It's a good place.
Where can I watch that Neil Diamond video?
I just searched for Neil Diamond to find out how old he was. And you look at the videos. There's two or three. Okay. You'll find that. Hands. We can't. We don't post
washing hands.
Secular music on
reaching
today's
out.
Issues, so we won't post it on
not talk
our Facebook page. But we seriously recommend you find it somewhere else.
All right, folks. Ray, thank you.
My pleasure.
Steve,
my
thank
pleasure.
You. Ed, appreciate
absolutely.
It. And Brent Creeley, our producer. Thanks to Brent and Fred for his earlier contributions, and Sandy as well. Folks, we appreciate you joining us today. And take care, and we shall see you back tomorrow. Keep listening to AFR.